Shiloh stilled, breathing in the woodsy scents of pine needles and rich soil, her pulse thudding against her throat. The crossbow pressed against her back was a comforting weight. The refugees drew closer. Their eyes widened as they took in the Northwoods' security measures. When the refugees were 40 feet away, Nash raised his AR-15.
"Stop right there! Hands up, where we can see them!"
Jason shouted as he flicked his AR's safety switch off.
"Drop your weapons!"
"We mean no harm," the long-haired man said.
He had a lean, pockmarked face and heavy, lidded eyes. His right hand stilled over his ribs a few inches from his weapon.
"Point those guns somewhere else. You're about to lose that hand."
Nash gestured with his rifle.
"On your knees, weapons tossed aside, now."
Shocked into obedience, the refugees obeyed. The long-haired guy responded slowly, his jaw clenched in anger, or possibly fear. With three AR-15 rifles trained on their chests, they removed their guns and tossed them aside.
"Hands up, and stay kneeling," Nash instructed. "No funny business, or we shoot now and ask questions later."
The little boy remained seated in the dirt, staring in wide-eyed alarm at the guns pointed in his direction. His mouth gaped, his eyes wide and glassy.
"Get your kid on his knees," Jason demanded. "On your knees, boy."
The kid didn't move a muscle. Jason swiveled his weapon toward the boy. His hands were shaking as if his nerves were getting to him, like he might do something stupid.
"I said, he's deaf,"
the middle-aged woman cried.
"He can't hear you."
Jason shrugged his shoulder like he didn't give a damn what was wrong with the kid, though he shifted his aim from the little boy to the old man. A red dot appeared on the old man's forehead. The old man raised one trembling hand, his left hand fisted and held tight against his cadaverous chest as if he was hiding something.
"Please,"
he said in a tremulous voice.
"Have mercy."
Jason said,
"Raise both hands or we fire, now."
The older woman's features went rigid. She was heavily pregnant. With her hands in the air, she said,
"We mean no harm. Please help us."
Shiloh shifted her gaze to the old man. Dark bags shadowed his eyes, his sagging skin sallow and sickly. Dark red stains marred the ace bandage wrapped around his forearm. His mouth was pursed in a pained grimace. He seemed genuinely injured, but appearances could be deceiving.
"Take their weapons," Nash instructed.
With Amanda covering her, Fiona exited the guard shack and retrieved the group's weapons from the ground.
"We need those," long-haired guy said. "You can't steal our stuff."
"You'll get them back if you don't pose a threat." Fiona's voice wavered. Her shoulders were stiff, her movements jittery. She was nervous.
"The only threat is you," the guy snarled.
Nash asked,
"What do you want?"
Teresa wrapped her thin arms around her belly.
"We heard this is a place that might be safe. We passed other towns."
She swallowed hard and blinked rapidly, as if to erase a terrible memory.
"They weren't safe."
Amanda and Jason exchanged a strained glance. Shiloh's heart stuttered in her chest. They hadn't heard this before. Most of the refugees had traveled from the west and south, from Marquette, Copper Harbor, and Iron Mountain.
"What towns? Why aren't they safe?" Jason asked.
The young woman bit her chapped lower lip.
5 days ago, raiders attacked our town. We were driven out. We fled with what we could carry. But Sault Ste. Marie is not what it was. It's controlled by them now. They take whatever they want. It's not safe."
A shiver of dread crept up Shiloh's spine.
"Who is they?"
"The cartel," Teresa said. No one needed to ask which cartel she meant. There was only one that mattered.